Blog Talk Radio.
And now, broadcasting live from the Apple Studios in downtown Minneapolis, here are your co-hosts, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards and Mr. Don Allen.
Hey, Mr. Edwards. Everyone, you're listening to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen, and Mr. Edwards is over in Studio B. And again, it's another beautiful day here in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm. Lovely, lovely, Don. You sounded like you were in a cave almost there when you first came on. I thought you were doing a Bin Laden. Quite a bit tonight. A lot of leadership stuff going on, as well as it looks like there's some controversy surrounding one of the many nonprofits that you oftentimes talk about operating in, well, actually throughout the entire city of Minneapolis, but apparently possibly preying on poor people and particularly African Americans. We're certainly expecting a call that will help us identify what's going on. If not, we will indicate what it was that we were told during the course of a discussion with a African American who was terminated for being a whistleblower. Isn't that amazing?
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like getting kicked out of NAACP for being a Republican.
Yeah, well, you had that happen to you. What's your status, Don? Do you have a status? Did you ever file a complaint?
No, I have not filed a complaint. The Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights is kind of giving me the runaround with the intake personnel down there. And, you know, they call, you call back. And Mr. Edwards, I'm actually going to make a video of the process of actually calling down there to file a complaint of how many recordings you have to listen to. And when you finally get the person that you're supposed to talk to, a recording comes on for that person.
Wow. So you have to go down there live and be buzzed in through the security door into the security room and then buzzed into the Department of Civil Rights' operational center.
Yes.
Kind of reminds me of CIA kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Velma Corvell, one of those in attendance, by the way, at the big leadership meeting in North Minneapolis. Boy, I'm telling you, they're really putting together a plan. Don, have you been hearing about the big retreat that has been ordered? Has been suggested to us as a community.
You know, I mean, I don't mean to be rude, Mr. Edwards, you know, but most people aren't even assholes because an asshole is useful. And when you look at these people, what they're trying to prove and what they're trying to do, it's absolutely incredibly just silly. Just silly. And we do have our caller on the line and ready to go, Mr. Edwards.
All right, let's go. Why don't you introduce him, Don, because you've also talked to the caller, I do believe, earlier today. And why don't you kind of give an introduction, and we'll just kind of do a Q&A with them.
I would like to introduce everybody to Queen Nucci. She has a Blog Talk Radio show, also very popular, and she's going to tell you the name of it here when she comes on. And she's a community activist. She's done a lot of things here in the Twin Cities, and she's pretty active. You know, not only she's not one of those people, Mr. Edwards, that just writes it on Facebook and walks away. She actually walks the walk and talks the walk. Queen Nucci, welcome to our show.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you so very much. I appreciate y'all asking me and inviting me to the show. Yes, I do have Awareness to Conscious Minds on www.blogtalkradio.com. And I am so pleased tonight to come on y'all's show and just sit back and have some real dialogue and some real conversation. Thank you.
All right. Queen Nitch, let me just kind of kick it off because I've been hearing these rumors and stories of things that are bordering on fraud and, you know, even voter misconduct and misrepresentation to people after they're encouraged to be involved in civil disobedience and then being left in jail, if you will, though there's significant funding that has been given to the particular, well, that appears to be two organizations. Now, here's what I was told. I've been told by sources within community, certainly not, it's not been printed, written, et cetera, that you were an employee of an organization called NOC under the administrative leadership of a gentleman, and that a number of weeks ago, about maybe 3 weeks ago or et cetera, you were terminated, you know, I don't know if it was for cause or without cause, by NOC. And Anthony, is it Newby? Anthony Newby, who is the executive director of this powerful organization, according to Fifth Ward Councilman Bong Yang. Now,
correct.
I understand you were terminated because you raised some serious questions about policy, procedure, operations, if you will, and an affiliation with an organization that is not even registered in the state of Minnesota with either the Secretary of State or the Attorney General's office, who have been the recipients of significant monies based on fundraisers, if you will. You know, I'm told that in Minnesota or any other state, you can't raise funds unless you are properly, you know, credentialized, certified, et cetera. But I understand,
correct,
because you took on the role of a whistleblower, and apparently, according to my sources, very appropriately, you were terminated by the organization at the insistence of the organization that really doesn't exist except for having money and bank accounts and et cetera. Can you, Queen Nucci, can you just walk us through what the heck is going on and this whole thing about houses and how houses are being given to regentrify North Minneapolis, forcing black people out, moving Caucasians and others in? Could you just share with us, I mean, what it is that you feel the public and particularly the black community, see, we don't have any problem. We're like you on your program. We don't have any problem identifying the importance of blackness. You know what I mean? Could you just walk us through what the heck happened?
I'm going to try my best because there was a lot of different events and a lot of different things that happened. So I'm going to go to the one with Occupy Homes Minnesota, who share membership with NOC, Neighborhoods Organizing for Change. So here's my take. Quite a while ago, me and Lawrence Lee was asked to do some things for Occupy Homes in terms of
I'll cut in. It's kind of like a prosecutor, if you will. Now, Occupy Homes is a Minnesota nonprofit corporation?
No. Well, Occupy Homes is not a legitimate entity. Let's put it like that. Occupy Homes is a gang. It's a name. It's not registered with the Secretary of State. It's not registered with the IRS. It doesn't have a tax-exempt employee identification number, no 501c3, none of that. So NOC does have a 501c4. I don't know if Occupy Homes was using them as a fiscal agent, but I do know they share membership, yes.
Okay.
So my thing is that you asked me to do a couple things with y'all regarding vacant properties. Really how this whole thing to me came about with the vacant properties word was when I was working at the Neighborhood Hub. I had a couple conversations with Mr. Newby about taking some of these vacant homes off the Chapter 246 list, which is a list of vacant houses that are done by wards. And in Ward 5, where Blong Yang is the city councilman, there has been about 300 vacant properties that sit in his district. Sit in his ward. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you know, you think about the racial numbers of people. So for every five homeless people, there is a vacant property that a person could have something like accessibility, home stability, you know, something sustainable, something created in our neighborhood that would kind of lessen this whole homeless thing. And how this all came about was about this home foreclosure, anti-eviction type process where there was a movement about stopping the police from and sheriffs from using city dollars, our dollars, to put people out, evict people out of their homes for the banks. Now, I was with that,
okay.
Right? I think that that was a great cause. It's a great move. But a solution to me is not to get you a home loan modification and put you back at paying your mortgage to a bank. A solution
is this what they did
is,
in the case of what is one of kind of the landmark cases around here, the case of like Mrs. Williams in South Minneapolis?
Yes.
Is that an example?
Yes,
okay.
That would be an
okay.
example. But to me, it's a little bit more further. Like, if you really want to claim victory and a win, to me, you would get them people to clear and free title, right? You doing all this noise making, I mean, you doing the protesting, you know, you putting the banks out here on blast. But these people are going right back into paying off the debt of these interest loans. So, you know, and in 10 years, they probably are back being in foreclosure. However, like I said, I was with the movement as long as black folks was not being charged with burglary and then being told that, you know, we can get your charges dropped down to trespassing.
Now, let me ask you a question in the role of an examiner or a prosecutor. Who were telling individuals that?
Okay, so Occupy Homes does not have an executive director. There is no particular established leader. You know, they have a few names of people, Catherine Solanic, Nick Espinosa, Becky Dernbach, Antoine Marknew, I believe that's how you pronounce their names. But these people are in the movement. Right? But they paid stipends in this movement, right?
Okay.
And
okay.
So where I got a problem is that you raising this money, you tell me to go through all these steps, I go through those steps, then all of a sudden, when it's my turn to get some leadership or when it's my turn to get some payment, me and Lawrence Lee, it's a funny type behavior starts happening. A lot of things start happening where, you know, you want to come and be confrontive to us and put out a bunch of allegations like we dirty, we doing wrong. However, you raising money without having a 501c3, you receiving funds without having any type of legitimacy. But we doing some wrong, so that's where it is with me. With
okay,
Occupy.
let me do this. Let's do this. I don't want people to say that there's, you know, non supposition and et cetera here. Could you and would are you able to identify some of the organizations that have been making gifts or grants to these nameless? Well, they're not nameless. You certainly named them to these people who, you know, I don't know if they're in somewhere in the United States or in Russia or Taiwan.
Well,
they reside in
Minneapolis. So
okay.
some of these people. Now, I didn't know that the foundations and all these different grantees or whomever grantors. I didn't know that those people didn't know that they didn't have any legitimacy, right? I didn't know that until I had a conversation with one of the organization, with one of the people that sit on the board. So. Resist is one. I know Headwaters was one. I'm not quite sure. I think P-Fund may have been in there. Anderson Corp Foundation, Ameripress Prize. I mean, these are different organizations that will grant you money based upon social and economic change, systemic changes. You know, they will grant you money. Now, that would be nice if we was a part of that. And if we was getting paid on that, but we're not getting paid for that. You volunteering.
Okay.
You know, you volunteering, Lawrence Lee, I was trying to get him to call in tonight. Lawrence was actually arrested, put in the back of a squad car, ticketed. It's just I'm tired of seeing that.
And what was he ticketed for? Trespassing, vagrancy?
Yeah, his is trespassing. They would go in the house. The police would go in.
Now, these were houses that had been vacant. And that occupied groups
or going through foreclosure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people were being encouraged to make a statement in the spirit of protest and et cetera. Of course, the police, the sheriff's deputies, and et cetera, we remember many of these high-profile entries, particularly in South Minneapolis and North Minneapolis, and these people were being arrested. So were they being bailed out, or did they have to languish?
You can get bailed out. You can get bailed out, but you're going to have to pay that bail money back. This is what we're
I'm sorry, I'm a little confused on that. The organization that you previously identified, these two organizations, Anthony Newby.
Listening audience, it's not a secret. It's Occupy Homes Minnesota. Yes, if you get arrested, they will try to make amends to get you bailed out, but you got to pay that money back. Okay, you heard that.
It's the organization, Mr. Anthony Newby and other principals who are encouraging a direct action, if you will, nonviolent. And obviously in the history of this country, as it pertains to that particular kind of action, the organization, if you will, which is encouraging disobedience, will assume the responsibility of what befalls you, such as a ticket, a fine, if you will, even a court appearance. You're saying that after encouraging you to be involved in peaceful demonstrations and indirect activity and law breaking, that they then tell you that you got to pay them for getting you out of jail or maybe even handling your legal costs?
Absolutely. They got some old fictitious paper that you sign. If you want to be arrested during one of these civil disobedience enactments, you know, the propaganda, if you will, yes, you can say, I don't want to be arrested. Or if you want to be arrested, yes, but if you are arrested, you have to pay that back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, at some point, according to the discussion with you and confirmation by others, you and Mr. Lee came up with a proposal to do some of the things you've just been talking about in the last 7 or 8 minutes. And
right.
At one point you interacted with the councilman here in the Fifth Ward. But then after thinking that you had an agreement and that you were going to have support, you were summoned to the office of Mr. Newby with the concurrence of the councilman, as I understand it. If I'm incorrect, correct me, where Mr. Newby basically told you that your proposal was now in his custodial control?
So this is how it plays out, right?
So I hear
that, Knock no longer wants to be a part of Occupy Homes in no way. However, to me, I don't understand it, right? So let me say it like this. How can you say you don't want to be supportive of Occupy Homes anymore because of the actions that they've been doing to black folk, if you will, and yet you still share membership, you still let them operate out your office, y'all still, working on different projects together? So to me, that says you stand alone, queen, by yourself. Meanwhile, we going to continue to conduct business as usual. And by the way, that vacant property idea that you got about fixing up properties and having low-income people afford to purchase those, the residents of North Minneapolis to afford to purchase those properties, you're not going to be able to get that off the ground because Wong Yang met you through through Knock. Now, I remember when Blong Yang ran before, he ran as city councilman before. But since he, you know, and I voted, this was ranked choice voting last year. And so you get a choice of this person, and this person. So that made me feel like, oh, if you vote for somebody, it's not creditable. I mean, it's not there, you know. So you voted for me, oh, well, right? Like, that's how I felt. So you tell me that I need to come and sit down. This is Mr. Blong Yang. I need to come sit down with Anthony Newby with this proposal that we done already sent you because you're not going to let it go off the ground if Knox's name is not attached to it. And that would go for the same as the community land trust that Occupy Homes is wanting to push and this eminent domain piece that Occupy Homes is wanting to push. So, and what I was told.
Now, this is the same Occupy Homes that is not registered with the state of Minnesota.
Right. So
the IRS.
This is the stuff that they want to push through the neighborhood. We want a community land trust where the community has control of it. I don't know what community you're going to have because there's no gangs allowed to operate like, you know, you a business in Minnesota without paying taxes, fam. I'm just going to keep it 100. And so, you know, the whole thing is kooky and spooky. So all of a sudden people start breaking down and breaking bad and, you know, the ideas that we had for some legitimate housing justice to, you know, formulate with these 300 vacant properties that could possibly be purchased. We remember back in the day, Ron, how we used to be able to purchase properties in our community for a dollar. They had a dollar purchase program or a low acquisition at best. To be able to purchase some of these properties and have families bring them up to code. And, you know, I just didn't understand how Knox's name needed to be attached to something that the community could benefit from.
Okay. Well, sometimes that's done in the world of organized crime. You know, you have straw buyers.
And organizing, too, I assume. So
okay.
I feel a little I feel a certain type of way, and in terms of do I feel like we need to let people continue to show up and speak for us about the things that we could have as solutions in our community? Absolutely not. I'm not feeling that. Absolutely not.
Let me ask this question also. It has been brought to my attention by organizations that have been watching this and in some cases actually conducting surveillance. Is there a actual written documented plan that talks in terms of sending Knox personnel, I use the word personnel, not organized, but personnel, out into the African-American low-income community and attempt to solicit money from people in support of Knox?
I think it goes something like fundraising, Ron. So, you know, when you have a fundraiser for your campaign, they, you know, want to door knock the community and ask for money. You know, they don't want to ask. I mean, you know, let me put something out here that I know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you partner with other organizations that are progressive, I don't know if I want to use the word powerful because powerful means you got people, right? And so when you are organizing your people, you're organizing your money. So I don't understand how you so organized and so powerful that you need to knock on the door of poor people to ask them to fund the root cause of these issues and not the problems of these issues. Like I'm somebody that's been around as long as you, Ron. Please enlighten me on how that's a benefit for whose community.
Well, it's a benefit of a community that does not reside within the community that's being taken advantage of.
Okay.
And exploited.
Thank you for that.
But let me get, I mean, I apologize because I know my colleague, Mr. Allen, has maybe some questions, and we've had you on for quite a while, and, boy, this is a wealth of information. Mr. Allen, do you have any questions of Queen Nutri?
Yeah, what I'm trying to find out is, you know, I've driven down Broadway 7 or 8 times in the last week, and they have an office there, right, I think, at 9th and Broadway, right across from the mall. I've never seen lights on in that place. I've never seen no activity there. Do they have particular hours, or are they just not open, or what's going on? And we have a caller here we want to get to. So let's, I'm sorry, that was my question, Mr. Evans, but stand by, we got a caller here.
Bring the caller on, and let's find out what their question is.
Call, you're live on the air. Go ahead, please. Hello.
Oh, okay. Now I'm one of the folks in the control room, if you will. Okay. All right. Phone lines are open. As Mr. Allen has indicated over the last number of weeks, we do not, and particularly with something as volatile as this as this information is being provided to us by who I identify as a whistleblower, we're not taking any texts. If you got any questions, you're gonna have to speak up on the phone and ask the question directly. Any questions again? Because we've had Queen on with us for almost 30 minutes now. You have any additional questions, Mr. Allen?
I have no additional questions, but the caller from the 510 California area code, if you would like to speak to the host, please hang up and call back because you get one chance today.
So let's talk about hours of business hours. Can we talk about business hours?
You got to laugh on that.
Because
we're not looking at a straw building, are we?
Well,
I mean, is there a functional office in
North
Carolina?
There's a lot of good things that go on. You know, there's the environmental justice. There's the food justice. There's the transportation.
Okay. Light rail, stuff like that. That's a big hustle.
Yeah,
and so,
you know, when you need to get people, you know, together, they come together and open up. There's a lot of great things that I think that could be, you know, developed.
Well, what about
office?
The office hours that Mr. Allen asked about? Are there office hours? Mr. Allen pointed out he's been by there 8 or 9 times, and there's never any light or human activity. I mean, is there?
Okay. Yeah. So when I'm there, it's going down. When I'm there in the place to be, people come through. When I'm there, I don't know how, you know, if they...
Okay, but you're no longer employed by Knox, right?
I mean, people is coming in there. They're coming in there looking for a service, but they don't provide a service, right? This is just about organizing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, of course, you are no longer affiliated. Your position was terminated?
Yeah,
feedback,
I believe
Mr.
that's
Allen.
What was told to me is that I was a liability.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was told. I was a liability, and so.
Well, I know you may be considering civil litigation. I mean, how were you a liability?
I don't, you know, that was a good one. I'm trying to figure out, how am I a liability? I'm not collecting no funds from the community without a 501c3. One Family, One Community, the Poor People's Campaign of Minnesota does have a 501c3. So if anybody would like to make any contributions or would like to sit down and do some housing justice with me or any one of my staff, we would greatly appreciate it.
Okay, now when you say your staff, now who are you affiliated with now? Because you say you're
affiliated with One Family, One Community, the Poor People's Campaign, Minnesota. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
And is there an address for them?
Yes, you can reach us at 416 30th Avenue North.
Okay. All right then. All right. We appreciate you, Queen, taking the time and the opportunity to educate us, make us understand what's happening. We always try to pretend that we know, but we really don't. We need to be educated. Want to thank you for taking the time, and we may very well have you back in a couple weeks.
Wonderful. I'd be more than happy to come back and answer any questions.
All right.
Y'all
thank you.
The Ron and Don Show, the hottest show on the Internet. On
All
World
right.
Talk
thank
Radio.
You, dear. Appreciate it. All right. All right.
Good looking.
Mr. Allen, wait, give the phone number. I mean, we need to get a phone number again. I imagine some people out there that want to certainly defend Nock and Anthony Newby. Mr. Newby was identified to me by a newspaper reporter who had been talking in terms of politics in North Minneapolis as one of the powerful non-elected officials, a giant in his and a legend in his own time. I don't know what that means. You know, I've been trying to figure out what he's done, you know what I mean, that has bore the fruits of success. But that is quite a disturbing situation with regards to the relationship with Mr. Espinoza and others. I don't know how you get away with that, particularly in that these organizations have very close sweetheart agreements and relationships with the city and city officialdom, if you will. But that is not a very pleasant picture that has been painted, if you will, by a person who was, understand the way we're putting this, Mr. Allen, was on the inside.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I mean, right now, as we talk, man, they just passed new legislation within a week's time in the Congress of the United States, same Congress that can't get anything done for the increase in livable wages and salaries and health care and et cetera, passed a new law today, man, to go to show you how they can put you in them concentration camps. But anyways, making it easier to fire employees of the Veterans Administration that have been accused, not anything adjudicated, but have been accused of malfeasance and nonfeasance in office. So, you know, the Congress can move when it wants to.
Yeah.
Any calls? They got anything? Because we have another piece that we certainly want to in the next 29 minutes, Mr. Allen. Maybe we can get somebody to call in who was at the meeting. Big meeting today in North Minneapolis in preparation for a retreat. Not a historical retreat because, you know, 30 years ago there were a couple of these kinds of retreats at a place called Spring Hill. Big, beautiful facility there deep in the wooded countryside of Wayzata, the former estate of a very prestigious milling family, if you will, affiliated with the Cargills. Beautiful, beautiful facility. So what's happened is that it started, Don, very quickly. It started with a meeting with Junior Senator Al Franken about a couple months ago, and Senator Franken expressed to the, I call them the Big 30, that was the group of African-Americans, a longtime activists such as Josie Johnson, Bill Davis, people like that, some of our ministers, some of the heads of our powerful nonprofits. And the senator, who hadn't really met with the African-American community in about 6 years, indicated that he was concerned about what was happening with regards to how violence and et cetera was being handled. And in fact, at this meeting took place this afternoon at noon, in fact, and I wanted to ask her, but I did not want to deviate from the subject matter, Queen Nucci was one of those that happened to be there. And the purpose of the meeting is to put together the plan for retreat, which will take place God knows when, but certainly, I guess, within a reasonable period of time. Now, after the meeting with Senator Franken, word filtered back that the white community was not comfortable any longer with the black leadership, that they did not seem to have a handle on the violence and et cetera. And, in fact, I attended a very emotional and spiritual meeting at Shiloh Baptist Church this past Saturday where a large number of youth, some as young as 14, got up and gave testimony, talked about the fear that they're living in, the threats that they feel, their great desire to be given guidance, you know what I mean, which was very emotional and very moving. Only problem was, with the exception of V.J. Smith, Faron Brown, the Reverend Charles Yates, community activist Jerome Copeland, and community activist Alfred Flowers, I didn't see any of the leaders, particularly all those that were gathered today at the church in North Minneapolis. Okay, now there was then a meeting with Senior Senator Amy Klobuchar. You know Ms. Klobuchar, right?
Yes.
And Amy Klobuchar gave directives and orders to what was expected of the black leadership. You know, I mean, initially when I heard it, I didn't want to believe that, you know, this was happening. But what happened in the meeting today, and of course, Queen Nutcher, anybody else is welcome to call back in and attest one way or the other. There was an admission that the two senators had directed the African-American community to get its house in order, and that they needed to have a retreat, which will basically be managed by the African-American Leadership Council, ALF, if they're called, Mr. Allen. You recognize that name, don't you? Are you still there, Don? I don't know what's happened with Don. I don't maybe the NSA cut us off. But anyways, this meeting took place and today. They were eating good. The food was just great, if you will. They had pigtails, they had ham, they had chicken, they had greens, yams, if you will, topped off by peach cobbler. And so things were going real good in regards to what was happening in this meeting that took place this afternoon.
Mr. Edwards, I'm sorry, but I have
Lost you there for a minute. What do we have? Did we have an NSA problem?
I have Mr. Anthony Newby on the line.
Oh, you can talk to him.
Okay. Mr. Newby.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
I'm doing great. We had a caller on earlier that was discussing Occupy Homes, and there were some pretty serious allegations put forth that there wasn't a 501c3, there was money being collected, and some other things. Of course, you'd have to go back into podcasts and listen to get a better definition. I know you are traveling right now out of town. I don't want to keep you that long, but can you insert anything to kind of give us, you know, and our listeners a because we like to give both sides of the story, and then there's a right side, of course. Give our listeners some kind of, explanation.
Well, first of all, Don, why don't you do this and let the gentleman know who the person was that was making the declarations. Hey, Mr. Newby, do you know a Queen Nucci?
I absolutely do.
Okay.
I consider
and
myself.
She previously worked with you? Did she work for your organization?
She absolutely did.
Okay.
I consider myself a fan.
Was she terminated?
Terminated, no.
Oh, she resigned, retired,
word.
Or
that's,
what?
That's a big word that I take very seriously. So Queen Nucci was never terminated from that. But her project, she worked a series of projects with us that were speculative projects related to housing. And those were contingent on funding. And when the funding isn't there for those projects, then we're not able to continue paying her. But well, I still consider her very much a leader within the organization and certainly within the community. So,
okay, is there an organization called Occupy Housing Minnesota or something like that?
There is Occupy Homes Minnesota, and I can give you a brief history, and again, I don't know the
name. No, why don't you do that? Indulge us, please.
Yeah, I mean, the origin of that was around the time of the Occupy movement, which started in October of 2011. I was doing some housing work with NOC at the time, and saw an opportunity to leverage that momentum of the Occupy movement where people were sort of mostly young white kids who were for the first time feeling the real pinch of what it feels like to have their version of America ripped out from under them as the economy collapsed. We, of course, know that's nothing new for us. But that's been historically where we've lived in this country, but it was new to them. I saw an opportunity to leverage that moment and get those kids connected to a fight around housing in North Minneapolis. And so out of that, over the course of a couple of years, 3 years, an organization was formed and branded called Occupy Homes Minnesota. So that's the origin of that. Uh-huh. And I've played a role in kind of, helping to
Could you just identify for us, who are the officers of that corporation?
You know, they don't have officers, and I'm speaking in terms of how they self-identify. They don't have officers. They have what they call a coordination team, and there's a group of five or six folks that,
do they receive any compensation?
Not that I know of. They do some fundraising.
In your relationship with them, do you periodically review their books?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
They have their own set of financial records.
We shouldn't belabor you with attempting to explain to us who they are if one has not seen the books. Could you name some of the coordinating committee to us so the public knows?
Well, yeah. I think Nick Espinosa is one. I think he's a very public person, and I think he wouldn't begrudge me to name him publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a whole list of other folks that I think have kind of been in and out of the organization.
Is that right? Okay. Are they registered with Secretary of State?
That I wouldn't know.
Okay. All right. Do they have an IRS number?
Couldn't speak on that either.
Okay.
I've never seen their books.
Do you have any joint bank accounts with them?
We do not.
Okay. Well, probably nothing more that can be asked then at this particular point. Mr. Allen,
I'd love to help, but, I'll say this.
I know. It's difficult. I know.
Well,
and besides that, you're traveling.
That.
Are you flying or driving or what? Because we don't want to distract you from your travels.
Yeah, well, I'm traveling. I'm in D.C. for a conference and, coordinating with some national partners. I will say this, on a separate note, we're poking around about ways to raise the minimum wage at a city level. So
sure,
we just did this $9.50 business, which frankly was disappointing to me.
You're working with Mayor Betsy Hodges and the administration.
Well, so there's some folks inside the city, some city council folks actually, that are interested
such
in moving.
As Bong Yang, people like that.
Alon Jacano, Cam Gordon,
Andrew Johnson.
That's great. Will we be getting a newsletter update
or something like that?
Well, absolutely. I'll keep you all updated.
All right. Be sure to send it to Mr. Allen. You know Mr. Allen. You work with Mr. Allen. Is that correct?
I sure do.
Okay. All right.
Big fan of both of you
all. All right. Thank you. Take care. All right, buddy.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Zuby.
Yeah. Okay, Don. Well, I don't know what that was. Now, was he listening to us in Washington?
No, I posted.
I know we're across the world, so how did he happen to call us?
I posted on Facebook and tagged him, Queen Nucci, and about 80 other people.
Okay, and so he was able to get to a phone and call us from D.C. All right, then.
Yeah,
because it's a little after 10 in D.C. Normally folks is out partying and having cocktails. Okay, well, hopefully, there'll be somebody that can tell us about this organization and its, what did he call it, steering committee? Yeah.
Committee, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I lost you there for a while, Don, with regards to the meeting. If there's anyone that was in attendance at the leadership meeting, because they are to put together a plan, there's $40,000 on the table. For the retreat, I don't know where the retreat's going to be. Could possibly be in Rochester at a beautiful facility there called the Abbey. But there seems to be some problems. But Senator Klobuchar specifically has indicated that Gary Cunningham and the ALF group, as they're called, will be the facilitators and will run the show. So maybe we'll get another back room text there, if you will. But anyways, phone lines are open. Give us that number again, Don.
That number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. And the phone lines are wide open.
Okay.
And I find, these meetings, the black community of Minnesota has a broad voice. And again, what they're doing is they're putting everybody in a silo with the usual suspects. And there needs to be a limbing or a outbreak of some other folks that are kind of upset about this. But they keep the information so bottled up that that's one of the worst things for, you know, the black community, and that they don't get information. And these folks don't supply information. They have no platforms. You know, so.
Well, yeah, yeah. But, of course, that's not what they tell the folks at the in the boardrooms of the foundations and et cetera. As I said before, Don, I want to kind of go back to the very emotional and spiritual meeting at Shiloh with young African-Americans.
Uh-huh.
Because I was disturbed that I'd been told by reliable sources that there was no discussion whatsoever in the planning meeting for the retreat about this violence out here and about the appeal that was made by young African-Americans, both male and female, the youngest being 14, at Shiloh on Sunday. I was greatly disappointed that there was no reflection, according to what was said, at the meeting this afternoon. They ate good, though. I'll repeat again. I think you were talking with Anthony. Is that, man, they had pigtails, they had ham, chicken, turkey, yams, greens, potato salad, and topped off with peach cobbler.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so our people, our leaders were eating good. Now, I know there was a little bit of hunger outside in the streets, if you will, but
yeah.
What the heck. But, you know, I'm just disappointed, you know, that there was no response to the appeal made by young African-Americans who talked in terms of the dangers they face each and every day. But I guess there's nobody specifically concerned about if a young African-American expires or not. And this comes after 27 straight days and nights of shootings and gunfire in our city. So, but anyways, you know, telephone lines are open. If there was anyone at the big leadership meeting preparing for the retreat, if you will, and maybe want to, oh, by the way, so that we don't have any, you know, testing, if you will, and et cetera, the leadership in the meeting this afternoon did confirm that both the two senators indicated that they were directing the African Americans, quote unquote, to get on top of their game if they wanted to continue to look at significant dollars coming in the future. So that was a confirmation that it was, in fact. Two of the participants at the meeting this afternoon said, it's a damn shame that it took a white man and a white woman to tell us we had to come together and meet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's your thinking on this meeting, Don?
Well, I'm not really happy at all. Well, I'm upset because I wasn't invited, number one. So I'll get that out there because I got a person on Facebook saying, you're just mad because you weren't invited. Yeah, of course. And I think that all voices are necessary in this, especially if you know already what's going on internally. And this is just a way to kind of block some processes that have not worked, obviously, at all for anyone. Second of all, you have, you know, this is a part of the DFL political plantation that continues to lead people around with blindfolds on and say, okay, come on, jump in this hole. And, oh, you go, okay. And you just jump and you don't get a free cell phone. And so you never, you know, read beyond the lines. And that's, you know, I had this conversation earlier today with someone. We were talking about these different little kiosks popping up in North Minneapolis talking about get a free cell phone, free cell phones.
Oh, now, again, free cell phone again?
Yeah, yeah.
The Obama phone, as they called it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The free cell phone thing is very interesting because free cell phone says a lot that people don't interpret in that text about free cell phone. That when you get up, you know, I've never done it. I don't need a free cell phone, but I would like one, but I don't have one. But when you look at what these people are doing, they're creating a mass database. Okay, a mass.
Sure,
database.
That's what the NSA is for.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, but people, they go for that. They have long lines, and yeah, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous. So this is all part of this mayor, I think, and her husband, Gary Cunningham, to try to put themselves in a position. Well, they are already in a position, Mr. Edwards, as far as I'm concerned, to especially Gary Cunningham, to kind of lead the charge on whatever it is going to do, whatever they're going to do. You know, let's make sure that these complaints don't go here, that if you have, don't call these elected officials unless you're all in lockstep together and all this other stuff. And it's a misdirect for the people in Minneapolis, especially people of color in Minneapolis, for them getting the Super Bowl. You know, they knew they were going to probably get the Super Bowl, and so people are going to start asking questions now. Well, how do I benefit? You have stories coming out by in the Star Tribune talking about the population in so many years is going to rise above 500,000 people. That's what Betsy Hodges is looking at the transit thing for, that the Super Bowl is going to bring billions of dollars of economic stimulus into the Minneapolis. But you know what? Look at the picture of the team who went down to present Minneapolis.
They were all white. Yeah. They were all white.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm saying we don't – ain't no skin in the game. You know, we ain't got no skin in the game. And none of these people that from the Urban League, the NAACP, and whoever else is out there, they, you know, give up. I mean, we're beating them like a horse, and they don't know what to do. But, I mean, they don't have any, again, skin in the game, as someone used to tell me.
Yeah, well, you know, you're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah, that sounds like a statement out of Omaha. But anyway,
yeah,
skin in the game. Well,
yeah,
like
I
said, the big meeting took place. A strategy, according to a couple of reliable sources, you know, operatives there, that is going to happen. In fact,
we have a caller, Mr. Edwards.
Oh, let's get him. Okay.
I'll call you live on the air. Go ahead.
Hey,
hello.
Is this Don and Mr. Edwards?
Yes, it is. Councilman, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hello to both of you.
Recognize your voice. How's it going? What's your question? Mm-hmm. What can we do for you?
You know, I was asked by Don to call at some point, so here I am.
Oh, Don asked you to call. Oh, okay. Don, why don't you go ahead and explain to the councilman why you gave him a heads up kind of and told him to call in. Let him know what happened.
Okay, I asked him to call regarding the story I read in Insight News, and Velma Corbell, the council of the Department of Civil Rights. I was a little bit disturbed, Councilman Yang, that someone under your auspices would go into these DFL-led caucuses, public meetings, and kind of blast yourself and the president of the council. And I did post a story, which was an Insight News, which seems to be pushing that propaganda. And, you know, I know you can't really get into details, but that's why I had tagged you on it to kind of find out. I mean, because you're quoted in here.
I'll tell you. I mean, I think Harry Colbert Jr. wrote a great story. I think that, you know, he covered it like it was supposed to be covered. I take no issue with that or with what Inside wrote. I mean, I think I take issue with what the director said. I mean, I think that was inappropriate. But, you know, we'll have a response to that. But, you know, I can say that I do appreciate people like you who actually take offense to that, because I think in some ways people should be taking offense to something that was said like that, because to question whether I can represent Ward 5 or not, that's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Consider, I mean, I would have to tend to agree with that, because, you know, I've talked to you on several different occasions, and I saw your interaction in the community, and I also knew who was running against you in that race. And you talk about who's going to represent, you know, the community. I think on our show, March 18th, 2013, I called the race that night when we first interviewed you, and it turns out that you did win. But it's very important that, you know, we have a Department of Civil Rights that actually functions. I'm going through a little thing myself where I call down there. I get a bunch of recordings. I give appropriate times to call me back. There's not callbacks. And so, I mean, I'm going to take care of it. But, you know, that system down there has not functioned on the behalf of the people of Minneapolis, not just the investigative side of it, but we need to really, really, Councilman Yang, look at the contract compliance area, because I've stopped at several job sites and gotten out of my, I can talk to anybody, okay? I don't have to be hostile or anything. I can talk to just about anybody. And I walked up to site managers and said, or foremen, and of the prime contractor and the subcontractors, especially Q3, Bolanger, and a couple other contractors that are doing, like, road work and construction. And I said, you know, has anybody here from the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights been down to kind of check your status as far as your women and minority hiring? And but I have to tell them real quick. I said, hey, I'm with a news agency, and I'm not against you. I know that you're doing business, and I'm just trying to see if policies were followed. And every time I stop and I see a crew of all, you know, 6 or 7, 8, 20 white dudes and white women, there's never any people of color around. And the foreman or whoever is in charge on the job usually tells me, he says, hey, you know, no one comes out here. We do these jobs and we go on to the next job. That's what we do. They're business people. But at some point, the city ordinance has to be followed. The contract compliance unit has to function. And I know in some cases there's some legal issues that the city wants to avoid. You just can't make a prime or a subcontractor, you know, hire a bunch of brothers, especially, you know, with the fiasco they have going on at the stadium. But, you know, you have to make sure that, you know, you have qualified people to work. And it's very interesting. And I guess what I want to say is that that system needs to be revamped, and because
well,
it's not working now.
The thing is that, one, keep on letting us know that that's not working.
Mm-hmm.
But two is, you know, I mean, we are, I mean, our rules are such that we have these hiring goals that are 32 for minority, you know, a 6% for women, and we have to meet those goals. And so if we're not meeting those goals, I mean, somebody has to be telling us that they're not meeting those goals. And if it's not the contractors, I mean, it has to be the community, or it has to be folks like yourself who are in the media. And we need to know that stuff, because, I mean, you know, usually what happens is we just get the reports and we just think that, you know, those reports basically tell the truth. And if they're not telling the truth, I mean, there's something wrong with what we're getting.
Well, I agree 100%. And here goes a problem. And here's why I think that even the whole city council needs to look outside of the box. Today, the Department of Labor, which is supposed to represent U.S. workers, says that the government needs to find a way to get more skilled foreign workers into the country. 35 million is not enough. Okay, this is the headlines on several reputable newspapers, and people are in shock about this. Why would, you know, the Department of Labor be calling for more foreign workers? That says a lot. That's very telling about what we're producing here. And this is all.
Yeah, Don, let me cut in and ask you a question, because we would be remiss and negligent if we did not give Councilman Yang an opportunity to respond to some statements and allegations that were made by a caller. Now, are we going to go beyond 9:30? Or should we just indicate that we will talk to the councilman about it, and he has the opportunity to call back next week and explain some of the allegations that were made against his stewardship?
Or
I mean, it's only
me.
Fair that we do that.
Yeah.
So why don't
me?
You, you know, are
okay.
we going to go beyond 9:30 or?
No, we can go. We can roll actually to for about 10 minutes past 9:30 and be live. We're fine.
Okay. Well, why don't you then brief the councilman on the statements that were made, and that we have you talking with him, give him a kind of an overview of what was said, and he can decide to respond, or he can listen on demand, and then, you know, maybe talk with us next week.
Yeah, we had a person named Queen Nucci, a community activist, to call in, and was a little bit in detail. She got in very detail about her housing program, the Poor People's Campaign.
But, first of all, does he know
Queen
who we're talking
Simmons,
about?
Right?
Councilman, do you know a Queen Nucci?
Is
Are you
Queen,
familiar with Queen Nucci? Used to work for
NOC? I know her by a different name.
Okay, used to work for NOC?
Yes, different name.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
You think you know her? Okay, go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and she, I guess, from what I've known, or what she told me, that she had talked with you, and she was a little bit remiss because of you know, she had this great plan for North Minneapolis, and you weren't going to let it push through unless Knox's name was on it. And, you know, it was a little bit, upsetting, to say the least, but we're just wondering, what was your view on that, and how did that come about? And I know you haven't listened to what she said. I'm going to send you a link for the show in the beginning.
Yeah.
So you can actually hear this. But
I can explain it from my perspective.
Okay.
So, you know, when Queen came in, she came in with a couple of African-American developers. I won't name their names. But she came in, and she wanted us to help her to start her program, and she wanted a dollar house. And so when Queen came in, she came in and she was waving her papers saying that she had a 501c3 and that she wanted to do her own thing. I said, but I know you through Knock. And so I'm wondering, you know, where does Knock stand on this? Because, you know, for me, it was important that, you know, I had a relationship with Anthony Newby. We had known each other in the community. And so I just thought that, you know, I'll give you guys this example. My sense was that, you know, these were folks that worked under Anthony Newby, and then all of a sudden they broke away from Anthony Newby, and I didn't know what the situation was. And so for myself, I just wanted to figure out what the situation was amongst all the different people. And so, you know, I just said, you know what, look, I mean, let me try to figure this out, but, you know, if we can do it, I mean, we would love to help you guys to try to, you know, get a home for you guys to start, you know, this process. And, I mean, I will try to work on my end to try to make that happen, but, you know, I needed to figure out what the situation was with Queen and with Anthony and with everybody else around Knock, because that's how I know Queen. And so, you know, I said, well, you guys should wait because we're holding a housing summit, and the housing summit was in late April. And once we do that, then we'll just figure things out after that. And after that, I'd never heard from her again. I mean, all I knew was that, you know, maybe they had a conversation with Anthony and something happened. I don't know. But the next thing that happens is that I get a phone call from one of the people who was in the meeting with Queen, and he's basically telling me, what am I doing? You know, what Queen is doing is completely different from Knock, and, you know, Knock and them don't have anything to do with each other and all that stuff. And at that point, I just said, you know what, look, I mean, we have to bring all of you guys to the table to really talk about what's going on, because I don't want to deal with the community drama. I want to just do the work of trying to help people get into homes. So that's kind of where we're at with that. And, I mean, I think this idea that, like, I've made promises and I've not, like, followed through on there, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what the situation is, because, you know, it's kind of like this. I mean, if Anthony is the tree, then the branches from the trees, which are the people that work for him, I mean, either they've gone rogue and I don't know what's going on, or I need to go to Anthony to ask what's going on. And at least with Anthony, I mean, I have a relationship. I know him, and so I'm going to have a little bit more maybe trust or faith in him. You know, and that's just kind of where it's at, I think.
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead. You still there, Don? Okay. Councilman, are you still with us?
I'm here. No, I am here.
Let me just go ahead. Appreciate that, Councilman, and you know, you've done the best that you could based on the fact that you indicated that you had not heard her statements, and so, you know, certainly encourage my colleague to send you a link of the first half hour, and, you know, you can make a determination on how you want to handle the statements. Now, be advised that Anthony Newby did call this program.
Yeah, I heard Anthony's piece.
Anthony, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was asked, of course, a series of questions about Queen Nucci. He gave his position. He was also asked a question about an entity. I call it only entity because I don't know if I could call it a company or a nonprofit or et cetera in light of the statements made by Queen Nucci with regards to their legal status, but I know that'll certainly be worked out. Let me also do this. Prior to us getting into that one, to that particular issue, we were talking about Civil Rights Department and the documentation out of contract compliance and et cetera, and you talked in terms of, you know, certainly people bringing information to you if they thought there was inconsistency and et cetera. Can you indicate when is the last time that there's been an audit of the numbers and the information provided by the Civil Rights Department and its contract compliance unit? Do you know offhand?
You know, I can tell you, I mean, if it happened before I came into office.
So that would have been about 4 or 5 years ago, right? You were there from when to when? Oh, no, I'm talking. Let me go back. You were in the department as an employee for what period of time?
For about a year.
Okay. And my question had to do with, has there been an audit? Your response had to do with you've only been in office since January, and, of course, I'm very cognizant of that.
Well, no, my understanding of your question was, you know, when was the last time they got audited? And I'm saying, you know, it didn't happen while I was still in office.
You came into office, yeah.
Right.
Well, but I should have asked which office, as an employee or as a elected official?
As an elected, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you aware of any documentation as chairman of the Public Safety Committee, which the department reports to? Are you aware of any documents anywhere in the files which indicates a audit?
You know,
other than the October 2010 report?
Yeah, the city of Minneapolis does, you know, annual results Minneapolis report. And, you know, I don't know if that goes to the heart of your question about, you know, whether there was an actual audit of the CCU to see whether they've done their job. I mean, results is probably the best measure that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
so, in other words, you don't know
access
if there's been an audit or not. Okay, all
right,
gotcha.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, like I said, may want to take a look at the October 10th, 2010 report that $500,000 of taxpayers' money was spent talking about equity and et cetera, which included, wow, just a voluminous volume of numbers that purportedly were used going back to the construction of the Twin Stadium. You know, maybe that's something somebody may want to look at. Maybe I may decide to even come down next time your committee meets and ask for 2 minutes to indicate to you some of the numbers you want to look at. All right. Hey, appreciate it. Don,
okay.
Go ahead. Why don't you wrap it up? Councilman, we really appreciate you taking the time.
I appreciate it.
After Don's request and giving us a call.
Thank you very much. Well, you've been listening to the Ron and Don Show. We'll be back next Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and hopefully it's going to be a little bit warmer outside here in Minnesota, and it'll be nice. Well, Mr. Edwards,
all right.
You wrote.
All right, Don, let James Brown take us home, baby. Take care. All right.
Thank you.